You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride podcast we call From the Podium, where you get to hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. It was quarterback and rookie report day up at St. Joe, which gave us the opportunity for a Zoom media availability with head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, center Creed Humphrey, and linebacker Nick Bolton. So you're going to hear from all of those individuals in that order on this podcast. We'll start with Reed and Mahomes. We'll take a quick break, and then you'll get to hear from the rookies. Right now, though, here is the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid.
Good to see you guys. Just on the injury front, we've got some guys that are up here and that will work. DeAndre Baker, Taco Charlton, Juan Thornhill. They'll be doing some activities up here in the next couple of days. So Malik Herring, he'll be up here. He had the knee ACL. He's just rehabbing that. And Armani Watts will also be up here with it. He had a foot fracture and is doing well. Just Kyle Long is is also improving. Excuse me. He's improving and doing really a great job with his rehab. Likewise. He will not be up here for this go round for the next couple of days, but he has been rehabbing with us. We've got 30 players that will be here, and we're excited about that. We're excited to give them some work. You're not going to see a lot of teamwork as much as you will 7-on-7s as we go through this. We're glad to be back up here in St. Joe. We love the hospitality that they give us here at Missouri Western State University, from their president on down. It's just all class, and that's why we've obviously returned back here. So, and it's a great setup. They've got tremendous facilities, which give us an opportunity to get our work done. We're out of the city and secluded here a bit, where we can really focus on football and the challenge that we have ahead. We've got tremendous schedule that's set before us, and we understand that. Some heck of a football team's on there, and we've got to make sure that we're ready to go. And there's no better place to do it than here. Just touching a little bit on the COVID situation, we've got about 90% of our players are have taken the shot, and so and are in that protocol there as far as what the league's put forward for us. So 100% of the staff, they've all been vaccinated, so that's a positive. There's some stats that you guys know, but 79, or you could say 80% NFL players have at least one of the shots. So that's within the National Football League, and there's six teams that are over 90%. So we're glad to be in that. They're 90% are over, and we're glad to be in that area there. So we're one of the teams that where the players have really have made, they've challenged themselves to get things done and take care of business. So there are different protocols that take place for vaccinated players and unvaccinated players. But again, that's all for safety purposes, which it's an important part of it as you go forward, and the league's trying to do the best they possibly can to make that as simple a process as possible. There'll be some changes, so we're glad the fans are going to be allowed out. There'll be a couple little things that we have to do because of the pandemic and the way it sits, but we're glad to have our fans back out. And as you guys know, you did a great job with this last year with us and throughout the off season of their little things that are set up for the media also that they've got to do. So with that, again, we're excited. we're excited to be here and ready to go. And with that, I'm going to just let you guys take it from there.
We'll go first to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy. How's it going?
Good, Sam. Thank you.
I think I asked you some version of this the day after the Super Bowl, but I wanted to ask you in reflection now that the offseason is nearly complete, which is, you know, you won 16 games last year. You made it to the Super Bowl. So do you really harp on that during the offseason as you're going through schematic changes, roster changes, or do you harp on the way it ended and say, we need to make maybe more changes than I thought because of those things?
Yeah, well, we thought, well, listen, you evaluate all of that, probably all the above, and you want to be a better football team is what you want to do. You want to come out of it that way. And you want, and in our case, you want us to be able to stay on top the best way you possibly can. And so we made changes where needed. Obviously, there are people that leave every team and there are people that come on board with every team. And that's how it goes. And we think we made some changes where we've got great competition and which should help elevate us as a team, as an overall team.
Let's go next to Herbie T.O.P. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, looking good as always. Hope you're well.
Oh, thanks, Herbie. I wore this shirt for you.
Hey, Coach, we obviously didn't get a chance to talk to you between the break in minicamp and now, but Frank Clark's situation, two-part question here for you. The first one is, what was your reaction to the news on his two arrests? And I'll follow up with the other question afterwards.
Yeah, so listen, I obviously stay in communication with all our players during the break the best way I possibly can. So I have had a chance to talk with Frank. I'm not going to get into that. There's nothing that has taken place up to this point. Frank will be here and we'll go forward with that. And obviously we keep tabs on it and his people will keep tabs on their side of it. And we move forward. So that's where we're at now, but he will be here. Not now, but in a couple days here when the veterans come in.
And Coach, as a follow-up, with the uncertainty of his situation, if the league does take action, what is your comfort level right now at the defensive end position that you'll be able to fill it if he misses time for the season?
Yeah, so listen, we brought old 97 back and put him back in the mix here last week, so I think that's a good addition, and yeah, I think we're going to be okay there. And we've got a couple of young guys that we think are good football players too, so.
Next to Pete Sweeney.
Let me add this to you too. And just a reminder that Chris was working both spots. So we have the flexibility to move Chris out there. And that's where the Jerron Reed part of this, I think, was a big addition that Veach added to us.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Good, Pete.
Coach, we had an opportunity to speak with Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey earlier today, and considering that and going into a rookie camp, top two second rounders there, what are your expectations for each specifically, and what have you seen out of them so far this offseason?
Yeah, Pete, listen, I think they're good. These are both good football players. I think the experience that they got in the OTA period was good for them. But now, listen, now we put the pads on and we'll see. I really think that that'll determine how things go here down the road. But both of them got enough reps to where they get familiar with the defense and the offense and in both cases there. So I think they're going to be fine. They showed signs of that, but let's see how they do. It's not just the one day in pads. You know, it's easy to say, okay, pads. Well, it's pad after pad after pad after pad, and that mental and physical fatigue that you get through training camp. And so how are you going to handle that and still be able to go out and play well?
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, look forward to seeing you in person finally starting tomorrow, right?
Yes, that's right.
I got a couple of things for you. First of all, you mentioned DeAndre Baker, Juan Thornhill, and Taco earlier. Can you share with us how much they're going to be doing, not just the next few days, but maybe when camp starts? Are they going to be full go? And Brad will have one more question as well.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just see how they do here as we move forward. We've got a close eye on them. They have been working out and doing a good job with it. But let's just see how they do here, Adam, and we'll take it day by day and – I'll kind of determine how we go with them once the veterans get in.
Okay. And also you said that about 90% of the players have been vaccinated. that's, you know, some teams I think are there around the league, but that's a pretty high number. What do you attribute that to? Is there something you can
put? There's six teams. There's six teams sitting here right now, Adam, as I walked in here. We try to stay up on that. So, listen, I think it's guys just talking to each other. I think it's trusting your medical staff, which ends up being important in this. Not everybody understands and is been educated on this, or listen, I guess maybe they have been educated. They're not listening as close, but, and then you've got to make a decision. We all have had to do this. So you've got to make a decision on how you want to go forward. And the league's got their policy if you don't have it, and they've got policy if you have had it. And obviously if you've had it, it's a little bit easier road. I mean, the other one's very similar to last year if you haven't had it. And that wasn't the easiest thing to get through, I think, for everybody.
Next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Andy, hope you're well. Y'all were gone for a long time, so we had to find something to talk about. And Travis Kelce's last name seemed to come up. Did you know that it was pronounced Kels, or had you been calling him Kelce, and the reaction to that?
Well, I don't know how many Kelces there are in the Irish racer, but it's Kels seems more Irish to me than Kelce, but that, you know, could be either one. I'm not sure. I haven't done the whole heritage of it, but it sounded okay. I've had a chance to coach two Kelces, though, I guess, huh? Right.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Coach. Good to see you, and always appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet.
The Cleveland Indians have announced that they're going to be changing their name to the Guardians for next season. And obviously Washington has dropped their nickname. When the Chiefs dropped some of the Native American imagery, you know, you talked about how that the team has listened to the Native American community. But, you know, with these clubs changing their name, what are your thoughts about the Chiefs nickname? And if that's something that you think will stay forever, or is that something that needs to be thought about?
I think Clark and Mark have done a tremendous job with that. So they're on top of that. And our brothers here from the Indian community, they've been tremendous in voicing their opinions on it, and have worked with us. And, I know we've celebrated that. So it's I don't know. Other than that, I mean, that's a good question maybe to ask them, but I know it's been a very positive relationship there with the community. So
let's go next to Brandon Zenner. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned the seclusion that comes with getting away to Missouri, watching the facilities. I'm just wondering what you guys take away from camp up here in St. Joe, getting away as a team that helps you guys going into a new season.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, we come up, it's a time for camaraderie and bringing things together as a team. It's hard work. There's no shortcuts, obviously. We're going to try to make sure we cover everything we possibly can. But there's this concentration of football that you take in here. It's, you're sleeping in a dorm, you're eating over, in the dorm, and you're doing all of that. I mean, you're here, and it's football kind of 24/7 right now. That's how it works. And, we're going to take it day by day, like we've always done, and make sure we try to do the best we can each day to get ourselves, becoming a better football team.
Let's go next to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Coach. So you've spoken before about how OTAs, minicamp, that's all for laying a foundation for particularly these rookie players that you have coming in. What do you expect from them coming in this week in terms of their preparation from what they learned during that time?
Yeah, so listen, I mean, the nice thing about this is that everybody can kind of get in a flow before the veterans come in. So whether it's the coaches doing the install, whether it's the players taking the first 3 days of practice that they're going to repeat here in a couple of days to do, whether it's your veteran quarterbacks getting into the flow before the other guys come in. I mean, these are all positive things that take place in the rookie training camp. It is condensed, though, because we're not doing team activities. We're doing 7-on-7s as opposed to team, but we'll work through all of the other things versus air with the run game and so on there. Yeah.
We've got four more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Harold. Go ahead, Harold.
Andy, good to see you. When it comes to when it comes to having that rookie mini camp and having those OTAs, can you quantify how much more advanced you are, even when it comes to little things like Chris Jones switching to DN that you can do in training camp, where you kind of just snap into things and just go with the rhythm now, as opposed to especially last season where you had a very condensed training camp? How much more times, if you will, are you more advanced and ready to go this time around?
Yeah, I think it has a chance. Now, how we handle this here, Harold, is the important part, right? But it has a chance to have given us a little runway there to lead into training camp, especially with all the new people that have come on board here. And so, to me, this was a great time to be able to have the OTAs. I mentioned it last year. I felt sorry for the teams that had an influx of new players and or new staffs come in and then had to play catch up. So this at least gave us an opportunity with all the new fellows that are on the team to get ingrained a little bit in their minds, the offense, defense, and special teams, and then be able to hit training camp where they're not as worried about knowing all of that stuff as they are getting themselves through where they can actually play and not do quite as much thinking.
Go next to Darren Smith. Go ahead, Darren.
Good afternoon, Coach. A quick two-part question. Darren, this is your 29th year coaching in the NFL. What message do you give to the rookies who are trying to make the team and those that you expect to make the team, for them to get their career off on a good path, and then have a follow-up?
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me. It's 29 years, son of a gun. You know, it is a while. It's been a while. And I love every minute of it. I think you guys know that. So it's an honor to coach in the National Football League, and especially to be here in Kansas City with these folks here are tremendous, and we got a good football team. But every year is different, as we know, going into this. And so it's so important that you go through the whole process of getting yourself ready for the training. Don't take anything for granted. Take every play that you get, every install that's given to you, study it, analyze it, get better at it. It's you can always improve your game. It doesn't matter what position you are, how long you've been in the league, doesn't matter. So, really focus in on that. And then let's come out as a better football team than we came in as. And that ends up being important likewise.
Next is Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Coach, I'm just curious, just kind of like housekeeping. I know you said, the Frank Clark thing will come forward, but here for us, we have no information about what kind of timeline there is, that how this goes through. Are you aware of what the timeline is? Is there a date that you're thinking, hey, we should hear something about this date? Is it different?
We've got to just play it out here. I think we'll just play it out here, Saran, and just see how that works. I really don't have specifics for you. Nothing's really taken place there yet. And so we'll just see how things go down the road with that.
Okay. And then I asked this of Patrick, not asking you to comment anything on what's going on with the Packers, but you guys seem to have such a great relationship, Patrick and the city, Patrick and the Chiefs, you and Patrick. And, that looked like it was that way in Green Bay, but obviously it's not that way anymore. When you look at that, do you have a reaction, say, okay, hey, does that help solidify the organization and say, we got to make sure that this relationship is strong with our quarterback, and how do you go about keeping that relationship strong?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what everybody does it different. So I don't know. I'm not involved with that. I mean, that's like talking about somebody else's marriage. I mean, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. So I don't know what took place there. But I do know the things that we can control are things here, and we try to keep the communication as open as we possibly can. We've done that in the past, whether it started with Donovan or Michael Vick or the guys that we had there, Garcia, all those guys. We've tried to keep everything open with communication. So if you do leave, you understand kind of where we lie, but we also want you to be able to come back and feel comfortable with all the things that you've accomplished. So but communication, I think, is probably the key to what we try to do. I mean, and right or wrong. So it's hard to argue with the Packers because they've done a heck of a job, man.
Last to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy, great shirt. Great to see you.
All right, Nate. Thank you.
Just want to ask you two quick questions here. If 90% of the guys are vaccinated, what is your message to the 10%? You know, obviously, if they are with you as the season goes on, just the what is your message to them? And then secondly, now that this is Pat's fifth training camp, what are you most eager, interested, anxious to see from him as he progresses further in his career?
Yeah, listen, I don't have anything to say one way or the other with the 10%. You know, they know the guys that have been vaccinated and haven't been vaccinated. They know all the coaches have been. So it's not anything that I'm hoping that they all stay safe. That's what I hope. And that they don't get the virus. And that's most important in my eyes. However it's done, let's keep people safe. And that's where I'm at. But tell me the second part just again, Nate. What was the second part to that? Did you have a second question?
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Brad. Just the idea of you've seen Pat at the beginning. You've seen Pat, yeah, obviously, when he became the starter. Just what's it like for you, and what are you most eager, interested to see from him in year five of camp?
Yeah, so he's been focused all offseason. He's always trying to better his game. And so he'll work on that. He has specific things that we've talked about, and he'll dig in on that and work on it. He started it in the offseason program, and he'll continue to do it. He's always looking for that next thing that makes him even better than what he is now. And that's the part you love about him. He has that type of personality. He wants to be the best, and he it's not just talk. It's he wants you to be honest with him, direct, coach him, right? Coach him up as you go forward with it.
Coach, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, take care now. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Patrick, I know you were optimistic about this at the end of OTAs, but just checking whether there'll be any restrictions on you physically going into camp. And also, can you share what you've been up to the last month or so since the end of OTAs to prepare in a football sense?
Yeah, I think there'll be no restrictions. I've been training, running, throwing, doing everything that I usually do. And I think that was what was so good about going to OTAs and doing those things is I tested it there. I realized I was good. And then when I got back with Bobby and started training in the off season with him, I was able to do what I normally would do.
Next to Herbie T.O.P. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. In light of the NFL's memo yesterday to teams about the potential for canceled games and even potential forfeitures because of a COVID outbreak, I have a two-part question here for you. What was your reaction to that memo when it was made known? And then two, understanding it is a personal choice, but as a team leader, what is your message to the teammates?
As far as to the teammates, like I kind of said earlier in the offseason, it's your choice. Do whatever you think's best for you and your family. I don't let it become a distraction. We kind of go about business as we're trying to do whatever we can to win. And if you're not vaccinated, just be smart, wear your mask, try to limit your interactions with other people that aren't vaccinated, and try to make sure that you're ready to go whenever it's game time. And so, it's definitely a big deal with that coming out, forfeiting games. You never want to do that. But I think we have the guys in the locker room that are either vaccinated or are going to be smart if they're not vaccinated and not try to hurt the team in any way.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Patrick. The last time I'll reflect on the end of last year, but I am wondering how much did that game stick with you throughout this entire offseason? Just kind of what were your objectives to accomplish during the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it stuck with me for a couple weeks. But other than that, I mean, I just kind of started back rolling, trying to get myself back to be in this position now where I can go into training camp fully healthy and having the mindset of we're going to have to push to be even better this year. And you see every once in a while, the people still talk about it. I mean, you see the parade when you're in the offseason, you see the ring ceremonies and all that different type of stuff. But I think the best thing about getting to training camp is it all starts over. No matter how you ended the year before, you have to go in with the mindset of starting from scratch. And so we're excited to do that and try to make another run at it.
Let's go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, appreciate the time here. You're a guy that does a lot of media, right? You're always on when you're tweeting, when you're not on. And I saw your online reaction to Naomi Osaka's decision kind of to step back from Wimbledon. Wondering how you deal with just being under a spotlight all the time and the media pressure that comes along with that.
I think I had an advantage of seeing it when I was young. So I understood that it came with being a part of playing professional sports. But it is different for everybody. I actually got to watch her documentary, and I mean, she blew up extremely fast at a young age. And I think she did what she did because it helped her mental health, and it will help her in the future of how she plays the game of tennis. And so for me, I just try to keep things in perspective as best as I can. Understand that media is part of playing a professional sport. Y'all are doing y'all's job like I'm doing my job. And that at the end of the day, I'm trying to go out there and play the best football and be the best role model and representative of the Chiefs that I possibly can be.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Good, Pete.
Hey, Patrick, crazy that we're entering what is going to be your fifth training camp, and you seem to always be able to maintain this competitiveness and this fire. What about this time of year gets you going and ready to turn it on for what is going to be the long haul?
I think it comes with the culture that we have in this locker room. When you're going up against guys like Tyrann Mathieu and Chris Jones every single day, and they're talking trash, you kind of have to have that competitive spirit or you're going to get dominated on the practice field. So I think it just comes with the guys that you have around you. Don't take a day for granted. And I think we've learned that if we put in the work now, it will be at the end of the season where we want to be at. So it's about putting in the work right now, day by day, getting better and better so that at the end of the year, you have no regrets about what you did in the season.
Next is Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And I'll have a quick follow-up, Brad. First of all, just your reaction to Oklahoma and Texas, you being a Big 12 guy and everything and seeing that move, what's your reaction as a Texas Tech alum?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be different. I mean, at the same time, we haven't been winning Big 12 championships here of recent. So we got to find a way to win games at Texas Tech and put ourselves in position to be in those big time bowl games or college football playoffs. But as far as Texas and Oklahoma leaving, I mean, they're doing whatever's best they think's best for them. And I'm hoping that Texas Tech either finds a way to do something similar or find a way to build the conference back up so that when we compete and when we're winning games, we can have a chance to be in those playoff games.
And then I'm not asking any conversations you might have had with Aaron Rodgers, because I know you wouldn't say, right, even if you had. But here in Kansas City, people look at that and, you know, there's such a love affair this town with you and the organization seemingly with you. And it seemed like that existed with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and somehow it's gotten off track. Fans look at it and say, well, we don't want that ever to be the case with our guy, Patrick Mahomes. How do you look at it, being a guy who's at the, you know, beginning of his career or beginning to middle of his career, and seemingly it's all clicking, it's all working together. Is there any cautionary tale for you, for the organization and the staff there to make sure that relationship is always strong?
I think the biggest thing, and I can't speak for Aaron and the Packers, but I think the biggest thing when you look as an outsider, it's all about communication. It's all about respecting each other as a human being. And communicating with each other. Aaron has played a long time for that organization, and at some point they lost that communication factor. And I think that's where the disconnect just kind of happened. And so for me and the Chiefs, I feel like if we just keep this open line of communication like we have from top down, and the team, to the coaches, to the Brett Veach, to Clark Hunt, I think they'll never be a problem. So I think it just comes with the culture that we built here of communicating with each other and respecting each other as people.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Patrick, I have two questions for you. To start, there are a nice mix of new guys and some of the core guys that obviously you won a championship with. Just what excites you most about your leadership role and trying to get these two groups to sort of meld together during training camp? And then Brad, I'll have a follow-up.
Yeah, I think it started in OTAs and minicamp, bringing those new guys in. It's really cool because you get that energy boost, I think it is, of those guys are ready to go. They hadn't played in that, or some of all Tooney has, but a lot of those guys hadn't played in the Super Bowl or anything like that, so they want to make it there. And then having the culture that you've built with the guys and the core guys around us, you get to go in there and they see how we work every single day, and they have the energy that they're going to come do it as well. And I think things like this, training camp at St. Joe's and all being together pretty much every single day, you keep building those relationships that have already been built a little bit. And I think it'll bring us together throughout this month of going out there and practicing every single day, but also eating every single meal together and building those relationships.
Yeah. And then secondly, I know Adam mentioned before about the foot and you saying that there should be no restrictions. I'm just wondering, from a training aspect, was there anything that you did differently based on just how you played last year, or was the training with Bobby more about just building on top of what you guys had done in previous years?
We definitely did a little bit more as far as mobility with the foot. We always do stuff with foot and ankle and knees and all that different type of stuff, but we did different stuff just to kind of keep that mobility going, strengthen that stuff that that I kind of lost. Whenever you go in and have any surgery, you're going to lose some mobility. And so we did some stuff like that before every single workout. But then once the workout started up, we kind of got rolling like usual. And the good thing about Bobby is he always has some new stuff for me. So he was doing things that he had learned over the year. And I think they worked out well, and I'm ready to go in training camp.
We've got time for two more. We'll go Brandon and then Matt. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Patrick, thanks for the time. You might have just answered it, but looking back at training camp last year, the restrictions you had versus the time you guys have had up here in St. Joseph for training camp leading into the season, what are the advantages of getting away and doing training camp the way the Chiefs do?
I think the biggest thing, kind of like I talked about, is the relationships that you build. It's really cool to be somewhere where you're fully embraced in football. I mean, every single moment you're either meeting, you're working out, you're practicing, you're eating lunch with your teammates. It's just all football. So there's definitely an advantage to that, I think. And it gets you ready for the season of the grind that you're going to have to go through of several months of being day-to-day football and making sure that you're prepared for that.
We'll ask to Matt McMullen. Good, Matt.
Hey, Patrick, you mentioned how OTAs, those kind of things are beneficial, meeting the new guys, particularly the rookies. How beneficial is these three practices coming up where you're just around them, getting to know them better?
It's definitely beneficial. Building those relationships with those guys, I think them getting accustomed to, because the training camp's different, accustomed to how we practice at training camp, getting those first few days before all the vets get in, and then them getting those reps. Those things are critical. We go kind of through the first few installs with those rookies, and then they get to go right back through them whenever the vets get here. So they kind of get a little bit of a head start to try to prepare themselves for what we're going to do. And I've kind of built relationships over with those guys over the OTAs, the mini camp, and I've actually got to throw with them a little bit during this break. So they're guys that like to work hard, and so I'm excited to get them out here.
Patrick, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just heard from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and now we continue on with center Creed Humphrey, followed by linebacker Nick Bolton. Here's Humphrey.
Throughout the offseason, you had an opportunity to work with Patrick. Where is your comfort level, do you think, between the two of you when it comes to snapping the football, and how valuable will these first 3 days before the veterans get in continuing that?
Yeah, you know, we're very comfortable right now. We got a lot of good work in during OTAs and everything. So, I feel very comfortable right now. I think we have a lot of comfortability between each other. So I'm excited to get to work.
Let's go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Creed, appreciate the time. You talked about working with Patrick a little bit. I'm wondering if there's been a point entering training camp now that you kind of realized what the expectations were and kind of what the standards are here in Kansas City.
Yeah, definitely. No, like I've said before, you know, I'm entering the best organization in the league right now. So, you know, expectations are high. Team standards are high. And, you know, I'm ready to get in, get to work, and meet those standards.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Creed, good to see you. When you began your college football career, I think you redshirted, but the coaching staff felt at the time that maybe you were even ready to start at that point. Is there anything that you can take from that experience and obviously what you did in the OTAs that maybe you can take that leap to perhaps being a starter week one?
Yeah, you know, just come in, take it day by day, and work with the blue-collar mentality. You know, make sure I'm doing the best I can every single day in everything that I do.
Let's go next to Herbie T.O.P. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Creed, I see you attended the OL Mastermind get-together down there in Texas. What was your biggest takeaway from that, and what prompted you to attend that?
Yeah, you know, there's a ton of, you know, good NFL players that go to that. So when I got the invite, I was excited. You know, I worked with Duke Mannyweather. He's the one that puts it on. I worked with him during draft prep. So he let me come in, and it was great to hear from everybody. You know, obviously Mitchell Schwartz is there. It was good to, you know, hear from him, kind of pick his brain a little bit. So it was a really good experience.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Harold.
Creed, I got to ask you, being an Oklahoma alum, just what your kind of thoughts are on this move to the SEC potentially.
Yeah, you know, I don't really have any thoughts on it. I know the team will be ready wherever they're going to be. So, you know, I don't really have any thoughts on it.
Let's go next to Danny Welniak. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, Creed, so I got to ask you, what is the number one thing that you brought with you to training camp, and what are some of the pieces of advice that some of the veterans are telling you to bring with you and have easy to access?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of a minimalist guy, so I just brought what I needed. I don't really need a ton of things, so I just really brought what I needed. You know, they told me maybe get a TV or something if I need it, so I'll probably I just brought my laptop. I'll probably watch stuff on that, but that's about it.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Creed, you had a chance to work a lot alongside Joe Tooney and Kyle Long, you know, during OTAs. You know, what did you soak up from working with those guys during OTAs, and what do you see that you're able to take away that you want to build on now as you're going into your first camp?
Yeah, you know, there's a reason those two guys are just exceptional players. You know, they come into work every day with the mentality of getting better every single day, and that was kind of the thing that I saw from them that I want to really take advantage of, is just go in and improve every single day.
Go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Creed, you mentioned getting some advice from Mitchell Schwartz. Can you elaborate on what that advice was?
Yeah, you know, just different techniques that he used, kind of, you know, how he took care of his body throughout the season, things like that. Really just stuff to kind of help me through my first year.
Okay, Creed, looks like that's all we have. We appreciate you joining us.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, hope all is well. I know probably a lot of emotions going into your first training camp. Is maybe there a piece of advice that someone has given you that has stuck with you as you start this journey?
Yeah, I kind of got a lot of advice going throughout this. But most importantly, just the vets. Just taking it day by day, trying to improve every single day. I just kind of the mindset that everybody's kind of told me about getting here. So that's just what I'm going to do and try to execute that. Just getting better every single day.
Let's go next to Darren Smith. Go ahead, Darren.
Hey, Nick, I'm curious, you know, with this being your first training camp, full training camp with the Chiefs, how much of it is excitement for you? How much of it is nervousness? And what are you hoping to get out of it during these next 3-4 weeks?
Probably half and half. Excitement, a little nervous, kind of both. But just going forward, just really trying to develop as a player, as a teammate. I know the ultimate goal here is, so I'm trying to do my part, trying to be a part of winning the championship and doing my 111th.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Nick, between the time that you spent during OTAs, what is it that you really picked up the most, you know, that stood out to you, things that you learned from your teammates that you're looking to try and build on and take into this camp?
The playbook, just digesting that, building confidence in that. That's kind of what I gained throughout OTAs and just kind of hope to build on. I feel like I had a good foundation throughout OTAs of learning the playbook, communication, just trying to intangible things that you don't get by just reading the playbook, by being out there with the guys. And so I'm just trying to go ahead and improve on that during training camp.
Let's go next to Herbie T.O.B. Go ahead, Herbie.
And Nick, how did you spend that break between mini camp till now to prepare yourself for camp?
I just went back home, spent a lot of time with family. it's been a hectic all the way up to this point. A lot of traveling, a lot of moving, not seeing family that much. So I made sure I took full advantage of that. I spent every day with my family and my siblings, just working out as well. And so that's just kind of how I spent it.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Nick. Steve Spagnuolo has been sort of tough on rookies and really making them prove it over and over again before he'll give them a lot of playing time. Has he said anything to you specifically about what you need to do to get more playing time, or any of the other coaches for that matter?
No, sir. There's no expectation that for me to build trust. And that comes with repetition and doing things correctly all the time. And so that's kind of the expectation I have for myself. So just going to go out there and execute every single day and just give him confidence. And then it gives myself confidence as well.
Next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Nick. I know that a lot of newcomers will rely on veterans. And I was wondering, to this point, what has it been like to work with Anthony Hitchens? Maybe what have you taken away? Have you guys talked leading into this camp?
Yeah, Anthony Hitchens is one of the smartest football players that I know coming up to here. That guy, very seasoned, know what he's doing. I talk to him every day, which comes just what to bring up here for training camp and, or how to develop and how to learn a playbook. And so he's been a big help. Him, Ben, Willie's a second-year guy, but also been a great help for me as well in my development. And so I'm going to join those guys and just wait for him to get back.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Nick, the big news in college football has been Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. You played at Mizzou in the SEC. Mizzou made that move. I'm just curious, as a Tiger, what's your reaction to seeing that happen?
Yeah, so being a Texas guy, Texas and OU joining the SEC would be excitement. I feel like I'll bring a lot of guys to compete against each other. A lot of Texas people go to Mizzou. So just bringing that competition of guys you play high school football with, that attend OU, it's in Texas, will kind of just bring another rivalry. I feel like it'd be great for college football.
Let's go next to Danny Wilniak. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, Nick. Well, to kind of build on the previous question, you said that Hitchens told you what to bring to training camp. What did he tell you, and what's like number one thing that you always have to like bring with you, like camp or on road trips?
Well, the main thing he told me was kind of just bring a TV. A lot of guys just don't bring a TV. So if you have a downtime while you're studying, going through playbook, you can watch TV, watch a little Netflix. Also just reminded me, just bring small things, highlighters, pens, pencils, stuff like that. A lot of guys forget to bring. So you have time to write notes. You can rewrite your notes at nighttime, highlighters, have everything neat and organized. And so that's kind of two big things. I got on me about the TV situation, and also that's having intangible highlighters and stuff like that. Just make sure I'm all the way prepared.
We'll go last to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Nick. So Coach talked a lot about how OTAs, rookie camp, all that stuff that builds a foundation for you guys. Just coming into camp, how prepared do you feel because of that time that you got around the coaches, got to get out there and learn the playbook a bit before camp started?
Yeah, talking to some guys from last year, they didn't have the opportunity to go through OTAs. And so I feel like that's very beneficial for me. I learned the playbook, being out there, hearing coaching points, being out there with the vets, trying to figure out what they do and how they do it correctly. And so that was pivotal for my growth. I love being out there every second of it. And so I feel like I can build on that and just keep developing. I feel confident that I'm at a good point, a good place with the playbook right now.
Nick, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.